All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
All right, we're live. What's up? Welcome back to another Wheel Wednesday podcast. I'm Nick, and this is Scott. And we hope that you are having a very good Wednesday.
Yeah, a very coronavirus-free Wednesday.
that's what...
it's getting rough around here.
Yeah. Last week, if you guys saw, we actually did a podcast talking about the coronavirus, and we weren't planning to do it. It was just one of those things that happened. Originally, we were going to talk about the topic that we're talking about today, but...
after three mistries and a bunch of operational issues that led to the technical difficulties, we moved on.
Yeah, we decided to move on and do it this week. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But before we do, if you could, like and subscribe. That's always greatly appreciated. Hit the notifications down there.
Yeah, last week we spoke about the podcast on the coronavirus, which is interesting because it didn't really have a lot of view count in comparison to some of our other podcasts. But what's interesting about it is that a lot of the questions that you and others continue to ask about things like why my wheel is delayed or what's going on here or we answered that in that podcast. So I don't know if you're looking for some. Something to listen to that's not just generic, just strictly car stuff. If you're looking to find out why all of your retailers right now are experiencing issues, why grocery stores are struggling to get things on the shelf, it's not a bad listen because it kind of all is
it's
the
all
same
in there.
Problem.
Yeah. Another thing, last Friday we dropped a piece of content. We've been trying to bring a new piece of content to you every single Friday.
Right.
Last week we dropped a podcast with Mike Sabunchi.
Yep.
He was – what exactly did he do? Was he the marketing director or was he for
– Well, Mike is currently – he's a director of social – he's a director of growth, of audience growth for a company called C Studios, which is essentially – Driving Line, if you follow them on Instagram or on YouTube.
There you go.
They are the agency for Nitto Tire. And the interesting part about this whole thing is that Nitto, when they wanted to put out content, they always thought to themselves, well, what's going to happen as far as, like, who do we get to partner up with that can help share this distribution?
Right.
And they decided to create Driving Line as their own platform. Editorial. So a lot of the content, so even though they're making content that's not necessarily related to tires, the interesting thing you'll find out is that all the content that's included actually features most of the Nitto stuff. So it's a smart move and it's an interesting one at that. And so Mike works for them, but Mike's history comes from he was with Super Street for almost 5 years as an editor, and he also ran all their social media. Then he moved on to Hoonigan. He was there when they created the Daily Transmission episodic.
Right. Piece. He actually mentions that in the podcast. Mm-hmm. He was there from episode one and then
– Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was there for about a year. And then he had the opportunity to do some freelance. And then he ended up moving on to work for Driving Line. So that's where he is. The interesting part about that podcast is that we talk so much about – different things that are related to sponsorship and content creating and marketing yourself and different things like that. So if you're
things that companies look for and just what to make sure you have before applying for a sponsorship and then making sure that you have something of value to offer to companies that you're applying for a sponsorship.
Yeah, and we briefly talk about some of the things that you should think about not only before you apply for sponsorship but before you're networking and making these decisions on what kind of content you're developing and brands and all of it, how it intermingles and how you you use insights and analytics and different things like that, and I think it's applicable to a lot of businesses and other brands too. So if you're kind of looking for some interesting feedback in the digital creator content sponsorship.
It's definitely a good podcast to listen to.
Yeah, it was not bad. And if there's any other things that you guys want to talk about,
let us know.
Throw them down there. We'll try to get them back.
Comment below.
Yeah.
But so let's get into today's topic. What mm-hmm. is today's topic, Scott?
So we're talking about electric vehicles, and it was something that we meant to talk about, you know, last week. But, you know, the one thing that we see so much of is that electric vehicles have – the whole sphere has changed.
Right.
Right? So, you know, the conversation that Nick and I have had, you know, plenty of times is that when you look at where EV and electric vehicles started – it was something that was like, it's not for a car person. And then, you know, Tesla really, I believe, in my opinion, let me know what you think about this, but Tesla really changed the game as far as making them cool and then making them have an enthusiast presence.
I can back you up on that. I think Tesla really just like, between the designing and like what they can do and just how they look and just the appeal of owning a Tesla is just like, it's cool.
Yeah. You know? I think what Tesla did that's very different is that Tesla, they went as far to not only make the tech inside the car cool, not mm-hmm. only make the car look sleek and not like so futuristic. Like they really spent a lot of time in design.
To make it like subtle.
But then the other part is, they made the cars fast,
mm-hmm.
right? This isn't a, you know, you at the time we were so prone and so exposed to Priuses and hybrids
mm-hmm.
that there's a very negative connotation as a car person to those cars because there's nothing there.
Yeah, they're slow.
It's electric steering. It has no feedback. They're not fast. Like there's nothing. You're not going to really tune those cars.
Right.
But the Teslas are different, and I think as the more that they've kind of gotten that that rap and spread that message and that awareness, and then the more that these cars are available, I think what ends up happening is you really create this movement and enthusiast thing where they change the kind of the conception.
Right. I almost feel like it's one of those things where, like, you know, when people kind of joke around about doing things for a while and then, like, it kind of becomes cool. I feel like maybe a year or two ago, a couple of years back, people were joking around like, oh, like, let's put our, you know, let's put a Tesla Model 3 on the dyno and see what it does. And then the numbers they were seeing on the dyno were just like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like, I've seen videos like that.
See, I don't
just kind of like joking around.
I don't know if I've seen. It's very hard to dyno an electric car
mm-hmm.
because there's no tax signal. There's no the power is not the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of times they end up measuring torque. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to equate the power thing,
well,
right?
Well, what I'm trying to say is, like, they just kind of joke around like that, and then it becomes one of those things where, like, oh, let's see if we can get more out of it, or let's see mm-hmm. what else we can do with it. Like, yeah. like what happens if we take it to the track? Like, what will yeah. happen if we bring it onto the drag strip? And then, like, they're seeing, like, wow, this is actually kind of cool and it's fun.
Yeah.
And little by little, it goes from, like, joking around to, like, oh, wow, we're actually enjoying doing this. Like,
yeah.
it's fun. Let's continue. Let's yeah. continue doing it.
I agree. I think what's interesting is that I think EV tuning and electric vehicle. I think that EV tuning is going to become much larger than people are giving it credit for. You know, and time will judge me. This will be on the internet now, so whatever. But like, you know, in 5 years from now,
we'll come back 5 years to this podcast.
Right.
Put a reminder on my phone now. For 5 years from now.
Right. But roughly in the realm of March 2026.
2025. You said 5 years.
Sure. Okay. I was going to give it the whole 5 years, but all right.
That is the whole five
years. Well, no. I mean, we're in March. All right. Whatever. So.
Anyways.
Yeah. So, right. So, in 2025.
In March.
I wonder. I think we're going to be looking back and really seeing that the EV tuning segment has picked up.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
I think there's, like, you know, we're looking at things that have so much capability there, right? There's, you know, and I don't know how it's going to work exactly with Tesla as a brand itself, but, you know, there's battery management systems and motor control and different, you know, systems that I believe there will be, you know, a very capable tuning platform
right.
that will at some point be available where, you know, for some of these cars, they become plug and play. And, you know, I mean, obviously that's going to, you know, who knows with Tesla? Mm-hmm. You know, they can blacklist a VIN number.
Yeah. So,
and make it so that car can never get parts, can't get updates.
Right. But is that just from, well, how does that work? I mean, like,
I don't know that I pretend to know all the details about it. So if you know, throw it down
below. I'm curious how that works because what if you say you need part for, like, I don't know, one Tesla, but it's really for, like, one of, like, the blacklisted ones. Maybe you can get to that part.
Yeah,
depth they go checking that or...
What's interesting, if you don't follow him already or if you don't know who I'm talking about, there's a gentleman that has a YouTube channel that's actually a very successful YouTube channel, and his name is... the channel is Rich Rebuilds. Rich has for years has been doing electric vehicles, and he's been doing specifically Tesla. He, you know, his videos almost became a little more of a how-to thing because he was kind of walking you through his experience right. of
and not many people have done that already. So
yeah, so his channel is really cool. Rich Rebuilds, go check him out. He has incredibly, and you know, it's not. I met him for a few minutes at SEMA, but I have not, and we have some mutual friends, I think, but we have, like, we've never put any wheels on any of his cars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm telling you to go there because he's a partner of ours, but his channel is very cool, and there's a lot of information over there, especially when it comes down to electric vehicles.
So his page, and I'm pretty sure we spoke about this one of the first seven times we tried recording this podcast, but his page for
– Channel.
His channel, what he does is he finds like wrecked ones or
yeah, I think so. I think it started with, hey, I'm gonna try to rebuild. I'm gonna try to get myself a Tesla for a fraction of the cost.
Right.
And it was kind of his journey to rebuild that car. And if I'm wrong, I apologize. But then he started doing other things. He started like almost hoarding parts and picking up other cars, and next thing you know, he had built a real substantial knowledge base to how to assemble these right. cars, work on these cars, what goes wrong with these cars.
I wonder how that works. I mean, it probably works like any other thing, but I wonder if like Tesla will try and like salvage parts out of like, I don't know, a wrecked car, or if like you could just go to like any junkyard,
well,
just see like Tesla Model 3s with like all the technology and stuff like still.
Yeah, I don't suspect – well, first off, what's interesting about Teslas, and this is the part I think that no one really knows is – so right now they have a pretty high resale value, mm-hmm. right? The problem is, will they actually sell for that? And that's where things are going to get dicey, right? Like the resale value of the car is there. The parts obviously are the gold mine that is about to happen, I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe you're going to see a real potential for gold mining in the Tesla segment of people that are actually buying these cars and then salvaging the parts
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, inventorying them and then selling them to other people as they need parts and right. also using them to repair their own cars. The problem is the technology and the information on how to fix those cars isn't really there yet in the other segment. Tesla owns a lot of proprietary items, and so Rich really has used a lot of his own knowledge to figure out, you know,
how things work.
Right. And so that keeps people from really working on their car. Rich actually started his own business called the Electrified Garage, where he's up in New England somewhere, I think the Boston area. Nice. And so Rich actually does one of these things where he allows you – like he allows electric cars and Teslas and he will service them. His business will service them.
Mm-hmm.
So
– but how does that work with
– I don't – you know, I don't know.
And Tesla, because if they're – I mean, if he's using Tesla parts, then that would
– well,
kind of make sense. But it's also one of the things of like, will they let any technician work on it or does it have to be a Tesla-authorized technician
working on it? Well, so here's where I think things get – because
there's like warranties and all that stuff well, they got to deal with.
All right. So I'm going to go out on a limb, and I don't know this 100%. So if somebody does know it, don't kill me. And if Rich happens
– comment below. Rich, if you're watching, comment below.
All right. Well, he's not going to. But if Rich was happening to listen, which I doubt he is, but like, you know, I don't know this for certain, but I would go as far to say that that whole Right to Repair Act, which is something that you know is built in, where it basically says that you have the right to work on your own cars, has something to play with Tesla's inability to maybe keep you from them from blacklisting if you source used parts. But I will say that I'm going to say that 99% of what we're talking about here would apply to a car after warranty has been run out. Because think about it like this, even for a standard car, whether you buy a BMW or not, if you take it to your, you know, your local mechanic and he puts in an aftermarket part to replace something while you're under warranty, one, you kind of be dumb because you're under warranty.
Yeah.
Two, I would say that, you know, why would BMW warranty a part of a car that has been touched by somebody that's not
there?
So I think we're talking about cars after they've exceeded the warranty period.
Right.
And you own them. Right? So these aren't leased cars or whatever. But, you know, it's an interesting thing. And to see these cars, I believe not only will the tuning capabilities go up, I believe that their use in motorsport will go up. And I think that
absolutely. I mean, we're already starting to see them in like on the track and stuff like that.
So there was Formula E, which was electric vehicles, a formula car.
Right. Have you ever been to Formula E?
I have never been to Formula E.
I went one time. It's the strangest thing
because there's no noise.
All you hear is the tires just.
Yeah,
they're just like going around the track. It's crazy.
So what's interesting is, like, I mean, again, we have Travis Reeder last year campaigned for
Napoleon.
Yeah, so they were the first electric pro Formula D pro drift car,
right?
That
was fully electric.
Yeah, right. That's what I meant by fully electric. But anyway, so we got to, you know, we had some experience with that car, and it's so eerie. Seeing that car hit the thing and the smoke and whatever, but like not
all
having
you hear,
that noise.
All you hear is the tires screeching.
And inside the car.
It's strange.
Inside the car, what's even more odd is the fact that, like, when you're inside the car, the only thing you hear is like rocks in the wheel wells.
Yeah.
You know? Super strange. And what's interesting is, like, they do have these Teslas are having a niche following in the sense that some of these enthusiast guys, they are tuning them in the sense like suspension tuning at this point. Wheels, tires, suspension, stuff like that. But then they're having these track days, you know? And I actually went out – well, I was at a track when they were doing – there was something else going on. They were filming something, so I was there already. And you didn't hear anything going on. It turns out over on the road course not too far away, they were having a Tesla –
And you heard nothing.
And then I went over there, and there they are racing around the track. And, you know, as they come down the straight, you hear, you know, like there was, like, no noise, nothing going on. So, that was.
It's what all the people that live near racetracks have been waiting for.
Yeah, but these cars. Right. Well, that's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a really valid point.
Imagine how like late you could race without making like any noise, or like what you could do if there's a track located near like a neighborhood or whatever. You don't have to deal with complaints or anything like that. So right. it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, I don't know where EV tuning is going to go, and I guess that's the point of today's podcast, right? But if you have thoughts, I'd love to hear them.
Definitely,
like, straight up, like,
or if you've done anything. If you have an electric car, you've done any type of tuning or modifying or anything done to it.
Yeah, what have you done?
Let us know, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what people have done with these cars already.
Yeah, I mean, we know the difference is, like, you know, on wheels and tires, you know, because these cars are so heavy.
Yeah.
We know that there's definitely one of those things where we have to, and there's so many different packages, trims, models, dual motor cars, single motor cars, you know, performance package, long term batteries, not long term batteries. So it changes the car's gross vehicle weight and the heaviest axle weight.
Right.
So we're constantly, when people are calling in saying I have a Tesla Model 3 or whatever it may be, we're saying, okay, can you get me...
You got to ask for all this information on top of it.
Yeah, we basically have to get the placard. You know, there's in the door jamb, in the front door, there's a sticker there that basically says the heaviest axle weight. So it'll say front and rear. You know, we've covered this in other videos before.
Yes.
But basically, you know, it's really incredible to think that... You know, we have to get that because so many cars are so heavy that putting wheels on them, you have to be super careful about making sure that you have the correct load rating.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But this EV tuning thing, man, I think it is definitely here to stay. And I think there's going to be a major boom in that segment. And for all of those that are super – I don't want to say anything bad, but are super hurt by the fact that this is not real cars and this is not whatever – I think you really need to pay attention because now is going to be the time that you will kind of be, you know, like don't be so closed-minded that you're not giving these guys the proper due credit for being car guys.
So, Scott, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
And we mentioned it before. So, you said the resale value is currently still very high. Do you think it'll ever get to the point where – I don't know, maybe Tesla produces so many of them or they're so common that the resale value will drop and you can get them for like, you know, a much more affordable, a much more affordable used price point. You know, I'm talking like literally maybe cut in half of what the retail price of it.
I think so. I think the problem that you're going to run into is at what stage and at what point the parts in these cars
are
and how much
available.
These parts are.
How
no,
much?
Not about availability, but like, for example, like, if you know, how long does this battery last? What's the shelf life there? Mm-hmm. When it dies, where can you go get a replacement battery? I know there are companies now that are replacing like do-it-yourself cells and there's people on the internet that have figured it. But what I'm saying is, at the average person that can drive into a mechanic or somebody else or whatever it may be, and when they need a battery or they need a charging port or whatever it may be, can affordably get it, you know, let's say even if it's a day, let's say it takes a day or two to get the part.
Right.
Can they affordably get it, have it installed, and leave their local repair shop? Until that starts to happen, I think there's a big disconnect between the viability of their retail price level, even as a used car, and their sustainability as an affordable used car.
Right.
Because you don't know, like, how much is that battery? Like, for example, you buy this car for, let's say you get a 12 grand Model 3.
Right.
High miles? I mean, but the point I'm trying to make is that, like, at what point do these motors last? Where's the longevity of them?
Right.
Like, if a battery goes or a part of a battery cell goes and you're not getting like nearly the range you need and you bring it in somewhere and these cells cost, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 or a battery replacement is $8,000 when you bought a $12,000 car.
Right. Is it even worth?
Well, right. What's going to end up happening is regardless of how much the car is worth, people won't buy them.
Right.
And then there's another issue, right? So I don't know. I mean, and this is a good question. I would love to have this conversation with Rich.
Yeah.
You know, and being that he's in Boston, I wonder.
Let's take a drive up to Boston.
Yeah. Well, not now. post coronavirus. So we have months. Hopefully not. Hopefully we only have weeks. But we have a little bit of time to work on it. Maybe we could possibly, you know, take a ride up to the electrified garage if Rich was nice enough to let us come up there and see it.
That'd be cool.
We have nothing to offer Rich and his community, so I don't think we're doing it for his exposure, but I certainly would love to go up there, talk to him, kind of rack his brain, have a conversation.
Yeah,
that'd just be like cool. This. So I don't know. Maybe that's something that he would be down for, that he would let us come up there and just kind of see what he does and what he does and get his opinions on the whole EV scene, you know?
Right.
Be pretty rad.
That'd be pretty cool.
Anyhow, I think that's pretty much right.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back to the other three times we did this, and I think we said all the...
And the good news is I think that we actually had different conversation, which is why we needed to wait a week.
Yeah, it was a much different conversation. After the... We didn't actually shoot it three times. We shot it once, and there was a technical problem.
No, we shot it three times.
We shot it once.
We shot it once, and the whole thing was bad.
Then we started shooting the second time, right? And then we realized another technical difficulty that Scott forgot to turn his mic on.
And then we started recording a third time.
Yeah, and then we started to do it again.
And we're like, you know what, this is terrible.
We were not really feeling this. It's not going. It wasn't natural. So that's when we were like, all right, we had this other idea for next week, so let's do this one now.
Right.
And as I predicted, we got through this one. It was much more natural.
I don't think it was because you're trying to make it natural. I just think that after a week, you don't remember what you had just said.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like after the second and that third attempt we tried to actually shoot it, we were so focused on what we had just said and kind of like trying to push it out. Anyways, we did it.
So on a real serious note, for everybody that's going to be kind of coming up against this whole virus as this thing kind of gets bigger, and we wish you all well, and hopefully you're able to move through this period, because we certainly understand there's going to be a lot of people out there that are impacted financially because their jobs have to shut down, their servers or hospitality or whatever it may be, and for all those that maybe come sick or have loved ones that are sick, we wish you all the best in making it through this. It's fun to talk about wheels and cars, and hopefully some of this, if you're listening to this, offers you a little bit of break to some of this. But it's a tough situation, and cars will always take a second seat to our health and priority. I mean, we hope that they don't, but they do. So I guess that's about it. This Friday, if you're watching on Wednesday, we will be live 3 p.m. Eastern. We go live every 3 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays on Facebook and Instagram.
Right.
And on this Friday, we hope to have a piece of content dropping for you. I will be honest with you. We are a little bit behind, and we have not exactly
figured out what.
Well, we kind of have it narrowed in, but we still have to shoot the darn thing.
Yeah.
So
we got this.
We got something like that. So hopefully Friday there will be a piece of content. We've been trying to drop the podcast on Wednesdays and a piece of content on Fridays.
Right.
So that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Take care of yourself, and we will catch you back here next Wednesday. Peace out.